Strong men believe in cause and effect. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Strong men believe in cause and effect. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Shallow men believe in luck or in circumstance. I don't have the right connection or wasn't there when something happened. Everything would have been different if I had been there." Well, strong men believe in cause and effect, because cause and effect is all that we are dealing with in our human, ordinary, physical life. Now, what does it mean to believe in cause and effect? It means that whatever thought you hold in your mind, whatever thought you have in your mind, the result that you're experiencing in your life, the experiences, the effects that you're experiencing in your life, are because of that thought. And you say, "Well, I was thinking thoughts that I was a millionaire. I was thinking thoughts that I'm a millionaire. I'm always thinking thoughts that I'm a millionaire." No, you aren't. You're always thinking thoughts that you'd like to be a millionaire. You're always thinking thoughts that it'd be so great if you were a millionaire, but you're not. It'd always be great if you had lots of money, but you don't. You see, those are the thoughts you're thinking. Now, you got to be honest with yourself. And when you're honest with yourself, that's what you get. That's what you're thinking. Now, do you think that you're sick all the time? If that's what you're thinking, then that's what you're getting. Do you think that you need medication all the time? Then that's what you're getting. Do you think that you need to have all these operations done? Then that's what you're getting. You think you need eye operations? You think you need heart operations? You think you need knee operations and hip operations and sex operations and all these different things, you know? And that's what you get. No. If you open your mail, you're in trouble. Anything that is not from somebody you know, don't open it. This is the criteria for email. Anything you get on email that you don't know who it's from, don't open it. But it could be something very important. Well, they'll try again. They'll get to you by some other means. Don't open it. Because if you open it, you could very well be opening Pandora's box, which opens you to the plethora of garbage that comes on email. And the plethora of garbage that comes in the land mail, in the snail mail. Ellen says, "I am so tired of opening up the mail and finding out that my heart can be replaced, or that I can be young again, or that I can be the right weight, or I can be this and I can be that." And Ellen, I said, why do you read even that far? If you know it is some new program, throw it away, unless you really are into new programs. Now, I say throw them all away. "Herb, how can you be so terrible?" Well, it's easy. I practiced at it. Throw them all away. And when you throw them all away, then you won't know what you've missed because you haven't looked at it, you see? And you won't know how very important it was to your health and to your welfare. You're going to die younger because you didn't take 2,500 pills a day. I mean, really, if you took every program that came along and just believed in it with an open, naive heart, you would have you'd have a pill factory. You know, yeah. You really would. It'd be absolutely fantastic. Now, and perhaps some of them do something. Unless they had just a little bit of a possibility that they helped, they couldn't get away with, you know, getting a lot of attention. Although the first round they get a lot of attention because they have good hype, they have good talk, and they get across a good message. Well, that's great. They're telling you, take this pill, you'll be whole and perfect. 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 Wow, what wonderful affirmations. You know? And so, if I take that pill, I'll be whole and perfect. Is there anything in the pill? No. But if I take the pill, I'll be whole and perfect? Wow, hey, that's cool, you know? Well, why not take something that's a little more proven? I am whole and perfect now. When you start telling your mind that that's the condition in your body, contrary to what appearances you may be having, your mind's going to say, "Oh boy, are you a you were taken in by that sucker deal, you know, to just say, I'm home first, you be home first. Don't you realize that that's the kind of stuff that comes in the mail and the emails and stuff like that? Yes? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this time, I'm saying it to myself. I'm saying I'm home first. I'm not saying the pill is going to make you home first. I'm not saying this doctor or this dentist or this whatever is going to make me home first. I'm saying I am making home first. Now, should I know what my own body is? Yes, but I don't. Should I know what's right for me? Yes, but I don't. Should I know what I should do to be whole and perfect? Yes, but I don't. Now, let's just pretend now that inside of us is the great mind, the great Wizard of Oz, you know? He's behind that curtain, this great Wizard of Oz. And that wizard, the whole countryside believed in him. They built that whole Wizard of Oz thing because of him. Because he believed in himself behind the curtain. When he came out from behind the curtain, he was just an ordinary schluck, you know. But behind that curtain, oh, he was good. And you see, this is who we are. Behind that curtain, we really are good. And we're doing miracles. Now, the only thing is we want to do that miracle on ourselves now. And want to say, I am whole and perfect. If the Wizard of Oz says, I am the great wizard and I am really great, and just stand up there and be himself, not have some images, 3D images cast upon a screen that made him appear to be something he wasn't. You see, this is what the game we're playing. We're playing the game of the Wizard of Oz. We've got all the genius within us to do anything. And we do anything, but we don't have the genius in us to believe that we do it. We believe it's that alter ego. We believe it's that other beingness. I don't know what the Wizard of Oz believed was doing those things, you know. But it was him, but he didn't know that. And he really didn't know. And when Dorothy came to the Wizard of Oz, you know, and, oh, Wizard, help us, you know, with this here, help us with that. And the Wizard says, well, you need wisdom. You need all of the things that, you know, was him. All the things that was his own genius and his own wonderment. And, hey, this is what we can do. This is what believing in the law of cause and effect is. The law of cause and effect says that whatever cause you put in motion, the effect follows it. Now, you put the cause in motion and you say to yourself, I'm whole and perfect. I like me. I'm divine. I'm wonderful. I'm fantastic. You keep saying those things and saying those things and saying those things, and pretty soon you believe it. And when you believe it, then the big problem that has been taking place, you don't disbelieve it. And you see, our disbelieving these things is what cuts it off. Because we got that dualism in there. And when we believe something categorically, we believe it without any ramification, without any discussion, without any maybes or may somehow. We just believe it. Absolutely. Little children are like that. Mm. They believe absolutely. Because my dad can do anything. My dad can beat the world. My dad is, you know. And they believe that. They're not just saying that because they wish their dad could. They believe it. Some kids know better than to ask their dad because they know he can't. And that part's okay, too. They believe that. Yeah. But can your dad do anything? Sure. Can your mom do anything? Sure. Can you do anything? Sure. So, you see, it's just a matter of putting that cause in motion for that wonderful effect. I think it'd be a good idea to watch The Wizard of Oz a few more times and get the message that it has to give, that here was this fabulous man with all the braggadocio that he had, with all the imagination he had, with all the razzmatazz and the great thing that he did. How'd he come there? He came there in a balloon. You know? How'd he get out of there? In a balloon. You know? And how did Dorothy get there? She got there in a hurricane or a tornado. And her house landed on the Wicked Witch of the West, was I believe, or East, yeah. And then, what did she do? All of a sudden, the Wicked, the Good Witch of the West, was it? Or East? But anyhow, the Good Witch said, "Dorothy, thank you very much for putting this Wicked Witch aside. I didn't do that. Your house did that. Now, her slippers are yours. Now, Dorothy, whenever you want anything, just click your magic slippers. Click your magic slippers." But Dorothy didn't think of clicking her magic. She knew she had the message. She knew she had the key. But she felt she had to go to see the wonderful Wizard of Oz. And the Wizard of Oz was someone she had met before. And so on her way were all the challenges, all of the doubts, all of the conflicts. And she had to learn about love, and she had to learn about courage, and she had to learn about strength, and she had to learn about dedication, and what was the Tin Man, you know. She had to learn about all these things, the Straw Man and the Lion, you know. And she was the strength behind all these characters who needed that strength, and she was it. But she didn't believe that. And if she had just once clicked her heels together, you know, click, she could have said, "I'm back in Kansas."
That's what she did.
And finally, that's what she did. But the thing is, all along, she didn't use her magic slippers, you see? But that's okay. And, of course, because she had her magic slippers, she could not be disturbed by the other Wicked Witch. She could not be disturbed because she was immune to that. Well, you and I are immune to anything outside because we have the magic slippers on our feet of our divinity. And our magic slippers can never be taken off of our feet. They are on there forever. You don't have to wear any other kind of shoes. These magic slippers are the most comfortable things in the world. They fit you. They are perfect. They're ideal. Your feet are always clean underneath there. and always wonderful. You never have to take them off, even take a bath. And you're so great. But you see, your divinity never leaves you. It's always with you, and it's always there. And as we say here about Emerson, shallow men believe in luck or circumstance. I don't have the right connection. I wasn't there when something happened. Everything would have been different if I had been there. Strong men believe in cause and effect. And you and I, we believe in cause and effect, and we have wonderful things happening in our life. So join me today and put on consciously your magic slipper of divinity, your ruby slippers that our wonderful Dorothy wore. And you know, she got where she wanted to go. And in making the journey, she made a lot of friends. And in making our journey, we're going to make a lot of friends too. Not because we fall into the trap of thinking like the standard human things, but because we have a divine foundation and it can never be taken from us. Mm-hmm. Have yourself a very lovely day and know that I'm with you and I love you and I think only the highest and best of you always. I love you. I love you.
I love you.